Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, we are just days away from the college season officially tipping off. No more open practices, no more scrimmage videos, no more unfounded hype in games that don't matter. We're so close. How are we hanging in there?
It's about damn time. I'm hanging in there. I'm very eager for college basketball to start. Yes, I know you can say the draft season's already underway because of international, but I feel like when we get the full college basketballs back, seems like it's just like, okay, all engines are go. I'm pumped. I need it. Need it back into life. Get some balance. How are you doing?
Hanging in there. Just watched the Timberwolves, you know, commit 20 turnovers and miss 9 free throws. Always fun. Also, you know, my soccer team. I know this is really going to hit home for you. I know you care so much, but Manchester United just fired their coach, and always tough, but just results weren't there. Same old problems, game after game after game. So new hire looks interesting. A lot of hype around him. So you know what? On to the next one.
I need a NBA comp for the coach that got fired. I'm too invested in my sports team, so I've always joked that would be fun down the road for No Ceilings. Maybe I'll make fun and have a fun offseason of picking
Doc Rivers.
Wow. Okay. Who's the replacement?
Hot new guy.
Young guy, Charles Lee.
Boom. Okay. There we go.
We figured it out. See, if someone just breaks down everything for me in NBA terms, it'd be very easy for me to pick a club, right? It's not a team. It's a club.
Correct. It's bigger than just a team. It's a club.
Bigger than just a team. It's a club.
There's tradition.
It's also not soccer. It's football.
Not on this side of the pond. it's not quite basketball season quite yet for college. Still a couple days away. Well, I'm sure we'll hop in next week. We'll hop in and break down opening week of play, but it is spooky season. It is Halloween week. So we're going to just have a little bit of fun here. This is kind of an episode that we've been doing the last couple of years, and we're just going to build a Frankenstein prospect out of guys potentially in the 2025 NBA draft. So what we have here is just a series of categories. We're going to go back and forth, each kind of pick one very specific trait from a prospect. Once that prospect is taken in anything, everything else for them is off the board. So if I took Elliot Cadeau's body, then, you know, no more shooting or playmaking or defense with him. Pretty self-explanatory. We'll kind of dive through it as we go. The categories are going to be body, athleticism, playmaking, on-ball defense, off-ball defense, shooting, off-ball scoring, and on-ball scoring. Easy enough.
Is
there further explanation needed on any of those?
No. All right. It's unbelievable because before we hit record, I was like, this is the most uncertain about like all these categories that I've ever been. Cause I just feel it's so wide open. There's not like, you might be sitting at home being like, yes, it's very obvious. So some categories. Yes, I agree. But there's a lot of different routes you can go here. I forgot that we did the like, hey, you pick one, you're donezo, which is the right way to do it. So yeah, it's going to get spooky. It's going to get a little weird. It's going to be difficult. You know, if you're doing this kind of on the fly, it's a little difficult sometimes. So I've got some tricks up my sleeve, trick or treat. So yeah, I'm excited for this one. Back by popular demand, everyone loves the Frankenstein episode. Everyone loves it. It's a big one. So,
And you know, speaking of Frankenstein, Halloween classic, horror movie classic. What's your go-to horror movie? Are you a horror movie person or no?
Yeah. It depends on like, see, sometimes I'm just like, hey, I need my bell rang a little bit. So like Shining's always just a classic. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh,
Jason. Yep. Watched Halloween the other night. Some of the bad Halloweens are so good.
Yeah.
Just like the Rob Zombie one. It's just bad, but awesome. So depends. I don't know. And then I get then I get weird and get Nightmare Before Christmas. So I get a little bit of both. But what about you?
No, I'm a complete coward. Can't handle him. Big old scaredy cat. I force myself to watch some of them, you know, after a while, especially if I get a sunny day and, you know, it's like middle of the day.
Lights are all on.
Exactly. Sun is shining. Beautiful day. I should be outside. Those are typically the days that I'll force myself to just rip the Band-Aid off. That's how I watched it. Clowns, horrifying.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's
my life forever.
Spent the off season just watching all the Alien movies in the dark, so that tells you where my mind was at when there was no basketball. So
thank you.
Yeah,
But over the weekend did watch Trap. Didn't do anything for me. It's disappointing. And Don't Move on Netflix. Won't recommend. Oh, yeah. So
wouldn't recommend. Metcalf likes scary movies.
Don't waste your time. All right, enough of that. I'll let you take the first pick here. So what is the first piece of your Frankenstein prospect that you will be taking?
I'm going to go body.
Oh, right off
and
the bat.
I'm going to take, oh man. See, this is actually, now I sit there and I'm like, wait, this might be, I'm going to take Ace Bailey.
Okay. Oh, really? With the body? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting. See, I was thinking about him with like on ball scoring.
Yeah, but I'm just gonna get the stretched out fluid giant. See, we joked about this before because Metcalf said in the previous episode, I think someone had Victor Wembanyama's body with Cam Whitmore's athleticism, and we were like, yeah, that'd be a pretty tough player to deal with.
Yeah, so and I think last year we had some combination of Edie or Klingon with Ron Holland's athleticism.
Yes, that was a fun one too. So I just,
can you imagine Zach Edey sprinting it with Ron Holland's pace?
No, you never stop him. It's the juggernaut. I want to make it simple. I think also when we do this, it's like playing defense sometimes, because you could have taken Ace Bailey in five different categories. So
you
give me the jumbo lengthy wing, and now I have to start putting it together. Frankenstein.
With Ace too, I think it's really easy to forget that he's like 6'9", 6'10". And yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how his body fills out 4 years from now. Because,
well, there's like seven guys that are like that same build in this class. Like, I could get a ton of tall, skinny guys, but I just want the wing. And I also don't automatically get his athleticism. I have to remember that. I have to build it. Yep. So yeah, that was a tough one. I'm nervous. Okay. Got me worked up with the scary movies. Go ahead. Who are you picking?
Okay. My first one, I'm torn between two. Not going to show my hand on, but I think I'm going to go with who I think is the best off-ball defender in this class. And I don't think it's particularly close. I'm going Cooper Flagg, off-ball defense.
It's a really good one, folks. I accidentally deleted my thing with all the categories. So bear with me if I ask you multiple times about
Do you want me to run through them again?
Go ahead. Really fast.
Body, athleticism, playmaking, on-ball defense, off-ball defense, shooting, off-ball scoring, on-ball scoring.
Okay. I think I had them all. Great. So fantastic. That's a good one. That's a really good one. You know, Cooper, you could have probably put a lot of different places.
Yep.
Okay. Any thoughts about Cooper?
He's good. Talked about him. He's very good. I haven't watched it yet. I'm not sure I'm necessarily feeling the need to, but they kind of dismantled that Arizona State team in that scrimmage, huh?
Yeah, it was
that was rough.
It's a tough one to watch, unless you just cover the score in the bottom. Makes it a lot better. But yeah, even Hurley had some fun in the press conference after, but he was right. That Arizona State team,
I'm sure that locker room was a blast to be in afterwards.
Yeah, probably was a blast. Excited to see him this year. Okay. All right, where am I going here? I'm not gonna lie, the athleticism one's a little tough.
Really?
Well, you know, I don't have the gosh. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. I'm gonna go but I want him for a different category. This is tough, Metcalf. See, this is tough. I'm going to go athleticism, VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah, that was he was my other, like, obvious, like, 1-1. But I figured that if I didn't take Cooper, you probably would have jumped all over that in some form or fashion.
Well, I was trying to think about even putting him for on-ball defense.
That'd be a very good one, too.
Gosh, he's going to be so much fun this year. I just love him.
It's kind of hard not to.
I don't know why. I feel like people aren't in. Are people in love with him, or are people just like, hey, after the top three? Now I know people have AC Bailey lower, but
I think people are pretty much all in on VJ from what I've seen. The only kind of hesitations I've seen with him, which I share as well and have voiced on here previously in previous episodes, is the size and just kind of what he's a little smaller than you'd like and doesn't quite have like the true point guard skills to play the one, but he's not quite big enough to be an NBA 2 full time. So he's just kind of in that tweener zone. I don't think it's really going to be that big of an issue in the long run. I think the shooting is good enough. The defense is incredible. The athleticism gives him a margin for error that's so much bigger than anyone else. And the playmaking is taking steps in the right direction. So if he can improve that left hand, just kind of improve his dribble moves a little bit, continue improving as a passer, I think there's a very clear route for him to kind of take. But that's my only hesitation on. It's like, man, I wish you were like 2 inches taller.
Yeah, I feel like there's some Alex Caruso vibes with crazy bounce, but I also, you know, Caruso's around 6'5", so I'm going to be annoyed if VJ's 6'3".
Which
I just think
was kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah,
him in person.
For sure. And I just also just think he's just a weapon. So I think you're going to have to just figure it out and get one of those guys where you're just like, we'll find a way. We'll play him. Like, is he Cason Wallace?
Ooh, that's a good one.
No, I'm not talking about just level.
I'm not sure he's that strong yet.
Because I think his body.
But like usage wise, I think that's a really kind of smart way to implement him, where you just have him doing all these.
Yeah.
All the weird dirty work shit out there early on, and then be like, all right, now you're catching up to the speed of the game and you're starting to figure stuff out. Now we're going to steadily build on your responsibilities and your workload and usage and all that kind of stuff throughout the year. And we say this every year, but Baylor's going to be a great spot for him to kind of be thrown into the fire and play off ball, play on ball, create for others, create for himself. It'll be a really, really good learning opportunity for him. So yeah, I have VJ at 4 and feel very, very comfortable with it. Same. Okay. We'll move on to my next pick right after a quick ad break. Rucker, so far you took Ace Bailey's body. It feels weird every time. VJ Edgecombe's athleticism. I currently have Cooper Flagg's off-ball defense. All right.
So body, so, athleticism, shooting, on-ball scoring, off-ball defense, playmaking.
Correct.
Okay, I thought for some reason I missed one, so that's why I just double checking. And if jumped in, you skipped the intro, the best part.
We had talked about rebounding. We can throw it in there if you want to, but it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, we'll think of it. Maybe we throw a bonus, a bonus section. I don't know, like extra good candy.
All right, so my thought process here right now is don't have to worry about athleticism, don't have to worry about body. I'll get those later.
Yep.
I think there are a lot of really good shooters in this class.
It is a little sneaky. You can find them pretty, which is going to be even more interesting to see who really
I'm going to go playmaking.
Ooh.
I'm going Ben Seraph.
It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Every game, there are like four or five examples of him just no looking and, you know, finding cutters while looking off to the opposite corner and moving defenders with his eyes, jump passes, flashy stuff, reliable stuff, change of pace, manipulating defenders in all three levels. The beginning to his season has been really outstanding. I know there's some inconsistencies with the scoring stuff and the shooting stuff. I think it's all fine long term. Their last game, he had a handful of dunks in the half court, which is really encouraging to see. But the way that he reads the floor and processes and creates for others, it wouldn't shock me if he ends up being the best playmaker in this class by a good margin.
Yeah. It's a fun class. I just
very fun.
I keep looking at all these names, and it's just a very fun class. Seraph just seems like an unbelievable roller coaster of how much he's going up right now. Because I feel like you see him at any place on a board right now, and I'm like, I get it, completely understand. Like it's not, you know, it's very hard to not be overly impressed by just what he's done since the summer. So. He's cooking. Can he keep it up? That'll be the million-dollar question. And I can't wait till, you know, he gets the Ricochet treatment where we're like, why is he so tired?
It's like, oh, because he's been playing for a year straight.
He's played 465 games this season. Okay, so you took Seraph. That was a good pick. On-ball defense is just if I'm gonna gosh man, this gets the problem is like I want to take some scorers for like two different categories, so I'm really just struggling here. I'm gonna go with on for off-ball scoring.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That I think that's where I would have had him too, is either that or shooting. But, man, the way that he relocates on the perimeter, cuts, just his all-around off-ball movement, and he's so much more than just a shooter, where even when he gets run off the line, then he's stepping into mid-range stuff, attacking the rim. I definitely think off-ball scoring was the best spot to put him.
What do you think of like a name for him? Because he's a little weird, Metcalf, of where he's like good feet. He's not fast, but it's what I said in that previous episode. Like you can be not elite speed, but if you're very quick, you're a dangerous person with footwork. But he's also like bigger body than most guys you would see with this similar skill set. Like he's going to probably be around 6'7", and he's also just knows how to use that frame, that bulk.
I hate to do the white guy for white guy.
Yeah, we have to.
Like Corey Kispert, it's hard not to go to that.
Like a bulkier.
Corey Kispert's bulky.
No, but like I'm saying Corey Kispert out of Gonzaga was more of like quick movement guy. I feel like Khan's more of a like, I'll put you on the block and go to work on you, and I can shoot fadeaways, and he's not afraid to go into people's bodies and stuff.
All right. Well, then who do you have?
No, I'm just saying that's a good one. I'm just saying he's more unique than just your typical, like, oh, you'd think, oh, movement shooter.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's not like a Jordan Hawkins sprint around.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Bucket. He's tough. Jordan Hawkins been hooping lately, too.
Paul Pierce.
Holy expectations.
Pierce was like that. Like,
yeah.
Pierce was bouncy in Kansas. So like I have to,
yeah.
I'm saying like Pierce though, like became that bigger body, 6'7" ish, could take you at the free throw. Like Pierce's elbow jumper was a disaster to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Cause he just had great feet, and yeah, now I'm going to move Khan up five places because he's my favorite childhood player.
If you're comping him to Paul Pierce, he needs to be.
You know, I'm saying the one, playing two, or three. Style. Like, he could shoot it for three, but Khan's a much better shooter.
Yeah, he's going to be a tricky. I like that you kind of went in the time machine a little bit there, because I think he's probably going to be one of those guys where might have to go back a little bit to find a bully ball type of player. But
I have more fun that way. I like going back old school. Like, give me the 90s, early 2000s comps. I don't know.
Because all of his comps are going to be Sam Hauser, Corey Kispert,
JJ Redick. Wally Szczerbiak. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. Everyone's going to be saying Wally Szczerbiak.
What a pull. All right. Okay. I got to move on. Okay, so I'm kind of I feel like I need to deny you one of the shooting or on ball scoring here. Oh boy. So I think for shooting, I'm gonna go Khan's teammate Darren Harris.
That's a good one.
Was a little bummed he didn't play a whole lot in that that first scrimmage. Did he play against ASU?
I think a little bit more. Okay. They were up by like 90. So
you'd hope so.
I hope you're playing. I hope some of the walk-ons got some minutes and the grad students too. That's a good one, though.
I think he could be one of the best shooters in this class. I mean, every high school game of his I watched. I somehow ended up going to it for a different player on the opposing team. And then every game is like, God, who the hell is this kid just launching and nailing everything? And it's like, oh, the five-star recruit going to Duke. Shocker.
Yeah.
All right. Where are you leaning? Talk me through it.
I was in deep thought. I love Harris. I'm a very, very big fan. I hope he gets consistent minutes, because I think that kid, him and Khan playing on the floor together would just be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Shooting.
Great outlets for Tyrese Proctor driving kicks too.
Yeah.
Also off ball scoring options for that Cooper Flagg Proctor pick and roll.
You know what? I'm going to shake things up a little here. Ooh. I'm going to go on ball defense. I'm going to go Dylan Harper.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Do I get, no, so I don't get Dylan Harper's body with it, but I get the mentality and intangibles defensively. So yep. I'll go. Yep. Okay. Dylan Harper.
So
I was going to pick him for playmaking. And then I was kind of like, I want something more juicy.
So I was thinking about him for on ball scoring.
I was thinking that too. That was my next one. So usually that tells you something if you're thinking about a guy for three.
So we were just considering Dylan Harper in three different categories.
Yes.
I
could have also picked him for body too.
And Dylan Harper moving up.
Dylan Harper.
Yeah, he's good. I love his on-ball defense. That's what was one of the biggest surprises for me at Hoop Summit was how competitive he was, how strong he was defending on ball, and how terrific his footwork is, where he's rarely getting turned. He's rarely crossing his feet, getting caught off balance, getting caught out of a defensive stance. The way he slides his feet, gets around and through screens at his size is really, really impressive. Then you just factor in all the intangibles with the work rate, the competitiveness, and it's like, holy crap. And then you get to the other side of the ball, and it's like, what's there not to like with this guy?
Well, his dad was like an unbelievable all-time defender. Might not be in this, you know, the stat book or the records, but, you know, Michael Jordan used to say, like, the end of that Cavs game where Jordan hit that infamous shot. He's like, Ron Harper shouldn't have guarded me. Ron could guard me. Like, so I'm not surprised that Dylan's learned some tricks from dad. And I just think he's going to be a very fun one this year. And I think he's going to be a franchise floor general for years to come, whoever gets him. It's funny because I really do feel like if you get Cooper and Ace, you're just stoked out of your mind. I think Dylan Harper's right there with him. So Yeah. I just wanted to have a little fun with that one. It's so funny. I could have picked him for like four categories. It's also like if you were so if you took Dylan away from on-ball defense, body, and playmaking, what would be the next one you think? Like, oh, that's his next asset. On-ball scoring?
Yeah. Yeah, because just like some of the mid-range stuff, the bully ball ability to get to the rim, finish with either hand, the turnaround stuff from the elbow, pulling up out of the pick and roll. It's not, I wouldn't say it's like his go-to skill, the on-ball scoring, but I don't think it's anywhere close to a weakness.
That'd be fun. What would be the last category you'd pick for Harper? Shooting?
Ooh. Either shooting or off-ball defense, maybe.
It's too early to critique off-ball for me. I need to wait.
And the problem is that all high school players, or 99.9% of high school players, suck it as off-ball defenders.
Yeah.
So it's like when guys get back cut in those games, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't either. Unless you're Casey Wallace chasing, or you're hunting chase down blocks. So you somehow become a good off-ball defender.
Yeah. Yeah. God, he was a psycho.
He was.
In the best way. Okay. I'm going deep cut here. On-ball scoring.
You're proud of this before you even say it out loud. You're smiling. For everyone
to watch it. One of the darlings of March last year, from a mid-major, from Grand Canyon, Tyon Grant Foster, on-ball scoring.
That is a good one. I didn't know. I thought you were going like 10 different directions with that. Still one of the best stories in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Okay, on-ball scoring. Wow. Yeah, I like Tyon. He's doing the Dylan Jones. He's doubling down. He's old. You're old. Yeah. I love the upperclassmen, but he's up there. He's 24.
He's old.
Tyon
Grant Foster with Darren Harris's shooting. Sign me up.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're electric.
Do you think what's the realistic route for him to get drafted?
Being more efficient, I think, because, you know, for everyone that's not familiar, he had a medical he had a medical thing where he was basically told you're done playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I think like a couple years later got cleared and then panicked to like try to find someone to take a chance on him. I think maybe it was Marcus Morris. Someone had a connection with the Suns maybe, and then they got to GCU, or I don't know. It was some amazing story. Basically, they gave him a shot. Former Kansas recruit. And you can tell. You can tell why he was a Kansas recruit pretty quickly on the basketball court. He's special. He's like 6'6", 6'7". He could play.
So it was heart issues. And
like heart issues,
scarring,
yes.
Scarring on his heart. And I think he's collapsed. He had collapsed.
Yes.
Like twice.
He transferred from Kansas to DePaul. And I think collapsed during a game and got rushed to the hospital or something. It's an incredible story. He had a heck of a year. He's very fun to watch.
He's incredibly skilled. And
yeah,
like what, 6'8", 6'9"?
Yeah.
6'7", somewhere in that range. But
I think if he gets more efficient, because he's athletic, you see how shifty he is on the court. If he just gets more efficient, those are the guys teams are absolutely going to be. Get him in the G League if he shows. Who cares? Like, get him up. He can play. So, I'd love him to just be nasty defensively all the time, like consistently. You know what I'm saying? And just bully people. So, I think there's for sure a route. He should, if he has a good year, some team will be like, we're not letting him become an undrafted free agent. We're going to, roll the dice on him in the second round at some point.
Okay, that would be really cool. It would be,
because
Because
I also know like how old he is, but if you're getting him at the end of the second and he sticks, it's a heck of a pick. Yeah. If it doesn't work, hey, you tried.
Like, right.
What about you? I mean, do you feel the same or?
Yeah, and the shot's funky.
Yeah.
Like, I think he has like kind of like a low push release. He's like oddly effective and efficient in the mid range, but from outside, it just kind of falls off a cliff. So either incorporating a little more playmaking, a little more defense, a little more outside shooting efficiency, I think there's a real path for him, because as just like a spark plug scorer off the bench, why not? But those kind of heliocentric, inefficient, ball stopping scorers are kind of a dying breed in the league. So he's got to show something else, whether it's really lighting it up from outside or factoring in a whole bunch more on defense or playmaking or something. So he's not just a one trick pony, but really cool story. Really, really skilled player. And Grand Canyon games are just kind of fun to watch regardless.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Right now.
Okay. Let's move on after our last ad break. Rucker, currently you have Ace Bailey's body, VJ Edgecombe's athleticism, Dylan Harper's on-ball defense, Con Knipple's off-ball scoring. Where are you headed next? So you have playmaking is vacant, off-ball defense, shooting, and on-ball scoring.
I just figured out who I'm going to make with one pick, and it's a category you already have, and I don't know if I've been more excited about this pick, so I'm just going to save it to the end, build some suspense. You're going to be very proud of it. So I'm going to go shooting.
Okay.
Tucker DeVries.
All right.
Easy you know peasy. Where I wanted to go with another big name thing, but I'm not sold yet.
Care to enlighten the listeners on who you're hinting at?
I think... Look, ooh. I'm going to get some heat.
Always good when you have to put a bunch of qualifiers in front of it.
Look, I like
now everyone just calm down.
I like this guy as a prospect. I am just not sold on the hype machine. I think he could be a heck of a player, but I've seen some names thrown around in pro comps, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with this. I like Liam McNeely. I don't know if I'm there on elite shooter. I feel like I've seen some people say Klay Thompson, and I'm like, get that out of your mouth. That's a very big name to be putting. He could be, sure. But Klay was a beast at Washington State. Like, the dude could shoot. So,
yeah.
McNeely can play. I like some of his stuff. I just don't know if I'm there yet on, like, that type of versatile movement shooter yet. Could probably drop 25 the first game, shut me up, but I'm just saying I feel like I'm not sold yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and with that said, you know, head over to NoCeilingsNBA.com and read my write-up on Liam McNeely. Also, over on the YouTube channel, you're already watching this, and if you're listening to it, go over NoCeilingsNBA on YouTube. Check out my film school on Liam McNeely. No, but I kind of echoed a lot of those same sentiments where, as a spot-up shooter, when he's squared up, lethal, absolutely yeah. Nasty, but he's not one of these movement shooters. He's not going to be Jordan Hawkins in that UConn system where he's sprinting off screens, hitting movement stuff. When he's doing that kind of stuff, it's to create for others or to get himself downhill. I think his passing is way more advanced than Hawkins ever was. I think he would have been more intriguing in the off-ball scoring realm than the shooting, just because I don't think he's quite the movement shooter that some of these other guys are. Go ahead.
Situation. Everyone's gonna love this. Tyler Metcalf's got the ball. There's
bad coach.
Five seconds on the clock. You're dribbling up. You're down by two. You got Con and you got Liam McNeely on the wings, wide open. Who are you throwing it to?
Taking the shot. What are you talking about?
No, you got to throw it to one of them. Who do you trust more to hit the big shot? It's the national championship. They're both freezing cold. Who do you believe that's gonna
both are squared up, wide open.
Catch and shoot, wide open. Terrible defensive malfunction.
Horrible execution all around.
Terrible. Guy slipped. It's terrible. They're both wide open.
I
just sitting there. They're probably not moving. Con. They're just sitting there. Con. Okay.
Yeah. Probably Con.
All right. Told me everything I need to know. Terrible defense, but just they're open.
Well, and, you know, here we are talking about McNeely, but you picked Tucker DeVries. So why DeVries?
I love his shot. I think he is a tough bucket getter where he can just shoot in a different variety of ways. You can smother him. I also like the movement shooter guys that can speed up their shot and still be effective. So I just like Tucker's a bucket.
All right. So that closes out shooting. I think a couple other names that I think would have made some sense here. Trey Johnson, Drake Powell, obviously Liam McNeely. I don't know. There are a handful of them. Alex Caraban, Peyton Sanford.
Peyton was in there. Caraban. Caraban's kind of in that same, like, I think he's a good shooter, but not elite.
Yeah. Apparently DJ Wagner now.
Trey was very much high on my board. I was like, I feel like
Trey. Why don't people like Trey? I like Trey a lot.
Forgot about Trey. I love him. I think he's just going to be a bucket with good size. I think he's just going to be a stud. I don't get it.
I like
Trey. I don't get what people don't like him more. I think he's smooth. That is a bucket. That is a walking bucket. Like, I feel like people are intrigued with just Jahlil Bethea, which I like. I just don't. Not up there, but and Will Riley, but I'm like, Trey is a different type of beast. I remember talking about him with you for FIBA stuff, and
when him and Asa Newell were playing up a year, and they were like the best players on the court. I was like, but just like the decision making and like playmaking from him too, where it's like, what are we doing?
Well, it's just smoothness. It's just overall smoothness, and it's a lot of stuff like. There's bucket getters, and then there's guys who are like, oh my gosh, this is just an artist out there. I feel like that's how silky smooth he is. So, all right, you're up, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go on ball defense, and I'm going with this guy mainly because I want to talk about him. There are a dozen names here that I could have gone with, but I'm going with Boogie Fland.
Oh, you son of a gun. Which one did you pick him for? That was
on ball defense.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Were you going to go on ball scoring?
I was going to go on ball scoring.
Okay. So earlier when we were talking about Dylan Harper's on ball defense, and just how it moved us at Hoop Summit, I had similar reactions to Boogie. With his screen navigation, his footwork, his length, his hands. I really, really like this kid. And I think he's going to be in for a big season. I thought he was the best player on the court in that Arkansas-Kansas game. He was fantastic. He was an absolute nightmare for Kansas to deal with. That combination of screen navigation, footwork, competitiveness. He's a little slender and a little skinny. But man, that kid is tough, and he doesn't shy away from contact. I am a huge, huge Boogie Fland fan. Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
You know what, Mick? I had the same thought of like, hey, I'm worried about the frame. Our conference previews at NoCeilingsNBA.com, absolutely free.
Oh,
I literally pointed out Boogie as I was worried he wasn't going to deliver. This year, I thought he was going to be like it's not happening this year. It's not a one and done guy, but next year he's going to be the breakout guy. He's going to have a big off season in the weight room. But I was like, I love him as a prospect. I just don't know if it's one and done. And it was because I was like, he's still thin framed. I don't know if it's going to be like out of the gate. I think in my answer, I said, it's either going to be right out of the gate, obvious, or it's going to be, I hope we see some development. I watched that scrimmage. I never overreact from an exhibition game, but that one was pretty tough not to overreact because he did a bit of everything. Like the first play down, he did a damn Luka step back, like Dirk fade away off one foot. And I was like, what the? Are you kidding me? That's your first shot. And then I know you're talking about with the defense. He had a couple, I think he had six steals against Kansas. Like he had a couple like FU defensive sequences, just bullying people. Just wanting it more. And I was like, is he that? Like, he's lengthy though, right?
He looks like it. I think he's got a good wingspan. I think he's like
6'4", but lengthy. He's just got to fill out, but he's so damn quick and he's so smart and plays so hard. Like, I would not be so shocked if we're talking about him in top 10 conversations in a couple months. Like, I think he's just got that, like, it factor. And if he's putting up big numbers this year with Cal, I get it.
Yeah. I have him top 20 right now. And I promise it's not just because of that one scrimmage. He was one of my favorite guys at Hoop Summit. I like the high school film. The outside shot will be interesting to track, but this pick was for on-ball defense, and that closes out on-ball defense. And there are so many guys that we could have gone with. When we look at forwards, guys like Colin Murray-Boyles, Asa Newell, Kwame Evans, then, you know, you have guards, Drake Powell, KJ Lewis, Garway Duall, DJ Wagner, and there are a lot of really good defenders in this class. Okay. You currently have playmaking off ball defense and on ball scoring empty. Where are you going?
I'll just go on ball scoring, Trey Johnson.
Is that a question or your final answer?
I just get his scoring ability? Like, do I just get Trey Johnson hitting mid-range shot jumpers and shit? Like, come on. Yeah. No, you know what? I'll get a little spicy. I'll get a little bit more creative. I'm gonna go on ball scoring. I'm gonna go Hunter Salas.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I meant to do that earlier. I forgot to write it down.
Taking a leap last year.
Yeah, I'm just so shocked he didn't stay in the draft. But same. We also heard stories, which were incredible. where do you have Hunter?
27.
All right. which is
almost exactly where I had him before he pulled out last year.
I have. All right, this isn't my updated. Ignore that comment, folks. Ignore that comment. That wasn't my updated board.
Classic.
Idiot. Gosh, I was like, I have this name way higher. Hour. Yeah. That's called preseason.
This is what I'm working with here, folks.
Yeah, sorry guys. Goodness. Anyways, I really like Hunter. I was just shocked because I thought, how much more momentum can you get?
Yeah. Especially after being like a rotational defense first guy at Gonzaga, limited minutes, goes to Wake and just turns into one of the best on ball scorers in the country. It's like, holy crap. I'm not entirely sure what else there is for him to show other than it wasn't like a 1 year fluke, you know, sprinkle in a little more playmaking, defensive consistency is a little better, outside shots a little more efficient, but I was floored that he didn't capitalize on his momentum last year.
Yeah, I was a little shocked. If he takes another step, we're going to have fun this year.
Yeah. Off-ball scoring, I'm just going to go Liam McNeely. We talked about it earlier. Easy enough.
I still like him. It's just...
Same, and I think he's... going to the absolutely perfect system. Yes. I think that him and that UConn system are going to be match made in heaven. Sorry, Indiana fans, but I think that's a way better fit for him than Indiana. So that closes out off ball scoring and on ball scoring. So any other kind of guys you are considering for either of those spots?
On ball scoring, Jalen Lowe, that's my guy. I need you to watch his film. It's driving me crazy that you won't watch it.
This is the first time you've mentioned his name to me.
You could go listen to the previous pods. I've talked to you multiple times.
I don't listen to you. So
multiple times. I'm going to start tagging you in Jalen Lowe stuff every day. I'm telling you, he's right up your alley, Metcalf.
TJD.
No, yeah, actually, don't give me ideas. I miss those days. I'm telling you, you will I guarantee you will like him. Okay. On ball scoring.
And so I think Trey Johnson, Drake Powell, Ian Jackson probably would have fit into any of those.
Ian was a little sneaky one that I was like, eh.
Kasperis,
Demen. Probably maybe Traore. I don't know. Traore. He's just a bucket.
I'd probably lean more towards playmaking or shooting with him, I think. Or
I'm trying to get some
ball defense.
Trying to get some deep cuts.
Jackson Robinson, maybe shooting though. Off ball.
Xavien Lee
on ball.
Yeah.
Playmaking too.
Okay.
Well, speaking of playmaking, that and off ball defense are your last two remaining
categories. I told you I was making playmaking was my last pick. Right. I'm gonna go off ball defense. I'm gonna go Neek Clifford.
Love it. Speaking of being surprised they didn't stand the draft.
You know what? I'm not. I thought about it the other day. Because he was one of my favorite guys, still is. And I was like, you know what? If he goes back and shoots it around the same from deep, but more volume, 3 and D, he's going to be first round pick. Like he 100%. Because teams are going to be like, we've seen what we need to see on defense. If he just goes and can shoot it from deep, especially now with Ryan Dunn. No, I'm serious, though. Teams are going to look and be like, give me the defense. That's what Ryan Dunn's doing. It's not just a shot, folks. He's making the defensive demons have life again. Like, yes, we can work with this. I love Neek. Very pumped from this year. I already want to move him up.
Where do you have him?
I have him at 30.
Okay.
I have him behind some guys that I just don't like. Yeah. What am I doing? You know?
I don't know.
Where do you have him?
24.
See, that's what I needed to be doing more of. Neek, Kwame Evans, guys I just love. KJ Lewis.
Okay. So I have body and athleticism.
Very excited to hear these picks. The body one's not as easy as people think. I mean, you would probably think that there is some, but...
So for athleticism, I'm just kind of looking for chaos machines. Aduthi Arrows comes to mind. JT Toppin, Rashear Fleming.
Fleming would have almost been a body pick.
I'm going to go with the guy that we that we talked about pre-show. I'm going Flory Badunga for athleticism.
Dude, I liked it. Talk about one guy I liked on Kansas during that exhibition match. Flory was showing some stuff
everywhere.
I liked it.
Did you see that like half court lob that he caught from Dwan Harris where he's almost nailed his head on the backboard?
Yes.
And caught it like after sprinting full speed. He's super raw, but man, the athletic tools with him are very fun. Everything I've heard about him is that he is an incredible kid and really, really hard worker and quick learner. So I think early season, it's probably going to be rough with him. He's probably going to average 8 fouls per 40 minutes. But I think what he looks like now compared to February, March is going to be a drastically different player. Is he a one and done? I would probably bet no. I think he could be a very fun sophomore, junior.
But if I was an NBA scout, I would be going and doing my checks on that type of player because you never know if some kid stays in or not, and you'd be like, that's the big you want to work with. That is the one, the diamond in the rough that I'm not going to say he's being an all-star. I'm just saying you get value out of that. Like,
Especially when you factor in the coachability and the work ethic and all that kind of
and the length
cliche stuff, but it's like it's real.
One of those lobs, I was like, man, that's a nice catch. Like, he just plays hard. So I came away from that. Like, Boogie stole the show for me, but then I was like, Flory, got my attention. I was there to watch Boogie and I left like Florian's nice. Like, definitely a, hey, let me circle back and watch this later. Okay. That was a good pick. I like that one.
Okay. So you currently have Ace Bailey's body with VJ Edgecombe's athleticism, Dylan Harper's on-ball defense, Neek Clifford's off-ball defense, Tucker DeVries' shooting, Con Knipple's off-ball scoring, and Hunter Salas's on-ball scoring to round out your Frankenstein prospect. Who are you going with for playmaking?
For playmaking, I feel like my Cavs can be proud of this one. I'm going to take Donovan Dent.
Ooh, very fun. I like that a lot.
I haven't forgotten. I'm still... Morale is high. We're very excited with the Donovan Dent fan club. Like, we're very intrigued for this upcoming year. Playmaking is a little tough because there's a lot of guys with good feel. I feel like you try to find the ones, though, that are just like, who's...
Yeah.
You know what I love with the playmaking guys? Like, who are the ones that just, like, make me laugh out loud when I'm watching? Like,
yeah.
I always joke, it's the Jokic effect. Every time I watch Jokic, he makes one pass where I'm just laughing. Dent made some of those plays last year.
Yeah.
It's like, good Lord, with some of these passes. Seraph does a couple of those. Dylan's going to probably have some too. But I love some of the guys. Just who was a big one? Oh, who was my guy from? Oh, my gosh. Juan Nunez.
Oh.
He was gave me some of the biggest, like, FU passes I've ever watched. Like, I was like, oh, screw this guy. This is hilarious. Like, some of these passes he'd throw.
That's how I was with Taron Armstrong
for
years. A couple other names I think could have fallen into the playmaking category. Xavien Lee, we mentioned earlier. Maybe like Mark Sears, Jackson Schellstad. But I don't think either of them are quite to that same level. It's not great playmaking. Malik Mack, Miles Rice. Very intrigued to see what Rice looks like at Indiana.
It really isn't the greatest, like, let me
Kane and turn Carlisle. Your
head. Cadeau.
Elliot Cadeau, yeah.
Could have been in there. But, I mean, when you get through, like, there's not, like, overwhelming, like, oh, playmaking's their heavy strengths, you know. And guys like Cadeau are sensational. But Dent, man, big fan. Neek Clifford, underrated playmaker. Okay, yeah. You got one pick left.
Okay. Just the body. I'm going Derek Queen.
Wanted to do that. I kind of realized it middle of the thing. I was like, took in Derek Queen earlier. Derek Queen with VJ Edgecombe's athleticism would have been fantastic. Who did you get it with?
Derek Queen's body with Flory's athleticism.
Oh,
Ben Sarah's playmaking. I could have just had Derek Queen's playmaking. My God, that dude can pass.
I could have done that too. Son of a gun. That would have been the easiest. How funny is that? That we were just talking about that, and you could have probably put Queen's playmaking up there with anyone's right now.
Yeah.
Which is shocking because I think a lot of people don't realize.
He is a nasty passer.
I put a clip up once of Queen and someone was like, he could pass like this? I was like, oh, buddy, buckle up. Like, turn the phone off and have yourself an evening. Watch some Derek Queen passing.
Go pour a nice glass of wine. Light the fire. Turn the lights off. Light
some candles. Turn the lights.
Set
down,
the mood.
Set the vibes.
Yeah, that dude can pass. I've heard that he's gotten in significantly better shape since getting to Maryland. I want Montverde Derek Queen though for this exercise. So that concludes our Frankenstein prospects. To wrap it up, I had Derek Queen's body with Florian Badunga's athleticism, Ben Sarris playmaking, Boogie Flan's on-ball defense, Cooper Flagg's off-ball defense, Darren Harris's shooting, Tyon Grant Foster's on-ball scoring, and Liam McNeely's off-ball scoring. Rucker's Frankenstein prospect consisted of Ace Bailey's body with VJ Edgecombe's athleticism, Donovan Dent's playmaking, Dylan Harper's on-ball defense, Neek Clifford's off-ball defense, Tucker DeVries' shooting, Hunter Salas's on-ball scoring, and Con Knipple's off-ball scoring. Couple of freaks we created.
Couple of freaks. It's alive. Those were good ones. Those ended up way more fun and out there than I thought. The Derek Queen pick was fantastic. That was a really good one. Gosh, I'm a pump for him this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a very, very fun year. Kicking off on Monday. Cannot wait. Loaded slate of games all week. And we'll be breaking it all down for you guys, as always. No Ceilings podcast feed, No Ceilings on YouTube, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Go check out our conference previews. We've also been sprinkling in some player profiles as well. Maxwell just had a kind of make or break year and ran through a bunch of prospects where it's like, if not now, is it ever going to happen for these guys? I believe that's the No Ceilings Plus article, so make sure to go check that out. I'm working on a Ben Seraph profile, working on some Kate Cunningham and Jaden Ivey content as well, because they look good. They haven't won yet. Wins are overrated. They look good. It's about process with those guys this year, and God, they look so much better. But you can find all that over at No Ceilings NBA across platforms. But he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at T Metcalf 11. Until next time. See ya.